Good morning, everyone. We are here for another scripture study. Today we are reading Genesis, Moses, and Abraham. This is the January 3rd to January 9th in... Come follow me, right? I just blanked.
What's up, guys? This is Angel, your boy. Yeah, we're going to be doing... Yeah, the Come Follow Me. We're going to be following the Come Follow Me. And we're really excited to be diving deeper into the kind of deeper doctrines of the church here when it comes to Genesis, Moses, and Abraham, because there's a lot of messages in there that can be interpreted all kinds of ways. So this will be really fun.
Well, I'm glad someone's excited. I'm a little scared. I'm scared I'm not going to be able to, like, keep up. I'm going to be like, what the heck is going on?
Just pay really close attention and you will be great.
All right. Well, I'll try. Okay, guys. So diving right in, we are going to be focusing on Genesis chapter 1, Moses chapter 2, and Abraham chapter 4. God created the heaven and the earth. So... let's see. So you may have noticed similarities and differences among the accounts of the creation in the books of Genesis, Moses, and Abraham. I'd like to encourage you to share what Joseph Smith's translation in Moses 2 adds to our understanding of the creation account in Genesis 1. Let's see. What additional insights do we gain from Abraham 4? That's interesting that it's doing all this because it hasn't even has read anything yet. let's see. Should we go ahead and just read? I don't know. How should we do this?
What do you mean?
I don't know how to start this. I'm already confused, guys.
All right. So the very first step, we're going to be, well, it just says Genesis 1, Moses 2, and Abraham 4. And the big topic here is God created the heavens and or the heaven and the earth, right? And so I'm just going to read through this entire thing. Class members, as in us and you guys, may have noticed similarities and differences among the accounts of the creation in the book of Genesis and Moses and Abraham.
Well, yeah, I read that, but like, what do we read? I'm confused.
Oh, I have to read through it okay. To like know. Encourage class members to share what Joseph Smith translation in Moses 2 adds to the understanding and creation account in Genesis 1. So it looks like we're going to have to just read Genesis chapter 1 and Moses chapter 2. Hold on a second here. Additional insight do we gain from Abraham chapter 4?
We're confused already.
So we're just going to hop down to the second one here. It says, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them dominion over the earth and his other creations on it. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 28. Let's read that.
Okay.
And then after that, we'll read Moses.
All right, we're getting somewhere, people.
Figuring this out here.
All right. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
And then Moses chapter 2, verse 28.
Oh, I gotta find that. That's in Pearl of Great Price. Moses chapter 2, what?
Verse 28.
28. Okay. And I, God, blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Oh, so it's basically the same thing. Mm-hmm.
And then Abraham 4:28, which will probably be the exact same thing.
It's all verse 28. That's so interesting. And the God said... we will bless them, and the God said, we will cause them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
So in these scriptures, it's saying, you know, basically talking about Adam and Eve or just talking about humankind and basically God setting us up to get to have dominion over the earth. But it's going to go deeper in Doctrine and Covenants 59, verse 16 to 21. And then 104:13-18, and this will kind of break down what those verses are talking about into a deeper standpoint.
Okay. Doctrine and Covenants 59:16-21.
Star's like swifting through these scriptures real quick. Here.
All right. Verily I say that inasmuch as ye do this, the fullness of the earth is yours, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, and that which climbeth upon the trees and walketh upon the earth. Yea, and the herb and the good things which come of the earth, whether for food or for remnant, or for houses or for barns or for orchards or for gardens or for vineyards. Yea, all things which come of the earth is the season thereof are made for the benefit of the use of man, both to please the eye and to gladden the heart. Yea, for food and for remnant, for taste and for smell, to strengthen the body and to aliven the soul. And it pleaseth God that he hath given all these things unto man, for unto this end were they made to be used with judgment, not to excess, neither by extortion. And in nothing doth man offend God, or against none is his wrath kindled, save those who confess not his hand in all things and obey not his commandments.
Okay, and then 104:13-18.
13-18.
And I can help out read if you want.
That's not too long. Okay. Unless you want to. For it is expedient that I, the Lord, should make every man accountable as a steward over earthly blessings which I have made and prepared for my creatures. The Lord stretched out the heavens and built the earth, my very handiwork, and all things therein are mine. And it is my purpose to provide for my saints, for all things are mine. But it must needs be done in mine own way, and behold, this is the way that I, the Lord, have decreed to provide for my saints, that the poor shall be exalted in that the rich are made low. For the earth is full, and there is enough to spare. Yea, I prepared all things, and have given unto the children of men to be agents unto themselves. Therefore, if any man shall take of the abundance which I have made, and impart not his portion according to the law of my gospel unto the poor and the needy, he shall with the wicked lift up his eyes in hell, being in torment.
Okay, so there's a lot going on here, but we're going to keep it really simple. And it says, this question is for you guys to ponder on, and we're going to break it down a little bit. Help us better understand what it means to exercise righteous dominion over the earth. So how do those scriptures that we just read help us to better understand what it means to have righteous dominion? And in every scripture, so Moses, Abraham, and Doctrine and and Genesis, we're talking about how, earth is being created for man. And then what happens in Doctrine and Covenants, it starts breaking down how the fields or the animals, literally everything that's part of this earth was created so that man could survive, could live. Like, everything is created for man so that we can grow and become better. So there's a part in there where it talks about the rich and the poor. Like, it says the rich should be poor and the poor should be rich. And for lack of better, because I can't remember exactly how it says it, that's pretty much the gist of it. But basically, the way that I interpret that is that, like, God is saying that, like, the earth is here for everyone, and it's there for us to use sparingly everything that is offered to us. And there is no reason in a way that, like, one should be poor when everything is there created for you. And the rich, it's like, don't overuse everything. There's just a lot that it dives into as far as, like, but the biggest thing is that this earth is here to help mankind be able to achieve their goals in this life, to be able to return to live with God again. And so, yeah, did you take away anything from all of that?
Yeah, I second that.
I think it's actually really cool how, like, it literally, as Star was reading, I was like, wow, like, everything that God put together on this earth whether it be the animals, whether it be the herbs, the trees, like, is literally designed to help mankind grow, become strong, and just be able to live here. And then there's also a part where it says, not only is it there for us, but it's all, like, part of it was really cool because it talks about how even stuff are there for us to look at and be amazed by it, like, whoa, by things, like, and have, like, an effect on our heart and the way we feel, which I thought was really cool from that takeaway there, because, like, normally when I think that God had created the earth for us, I think, oh yeah, for us to live and grow. But even down to our spiritual side, he's like, wow, I created things that they can intake and be like, whoa, you know, that's really cool. So
yeah, sweet. So in the lesson, it suggests that the teacher asks class members to bring pictures they have taken or have in their homes that remind them of the beauty of God's creation. And I honestly just like that because you know that everybody has something in their home that reminds them of God's creation. Cause, I mean, I feel like photos are so easy because, like, if you have any photos, like, out in nature, I feel like, I don't know, for me, like, that was instantly what came to my mind was, like, all the pictures we take or all the videos we take of us, like, out in nature instantly just makes me think of that he created all of this. And now reading these scriptures, it's like, oh, well, he literally created it all for us specifically.
I like that. I second that because, like, recently, if you guys don't know, we've been doing on our personal accounts and stuff, we're on YouTube, we've been doing 100 trails in 100 days. And so it's allowed us to be in nature pretty much every day. And just, like, every time I walk into nature, I just am like, wow, you know, it just feels so good. Feel connected with the trees and the environment there with the wildlife. And so you're right, like, whenever we look at those videos and stuff, we're constantly reminded that, you know, this world is bigger than just us.
And you know how people will say that, like, getting fresh air will help ease your mind, it, like, brings peace to you, and whether they're religious or not, I feel like everybody says, like, fresh air is so good for you, going out in nature is just so good for the soul. And I think there's a reason behind that, even if you're not a religious person. Like, I think the reason that you feel that is because I think being in nature just really draws you closer to God. And, like, I don't know. Like, I don't really know how to explain it. But I feel like basically what I'm trying to say is whether you're religious or not or have any knowledge of God or not, like, I think that's the reason that so many people feel peace when they go into nature is because it's created by God and it's for us. And I think just sitting in nature is really just, like, I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get that. Like, nature, there's a special connection there that you just become connected. It's just so weird how it works. But it literally said that scripture, like, it said that in Doctrine and Covenant that, like, some of God's creations he literally made just for us to be at awe when we see them. And it connects something with our heart that obviously we don't fully understand what it is or why God did that, but he did for us, you know?
Yeah. So there's one last question before we move on to the next section. It is, how does learning about the Lord's creative work affect our feelings about him, ourselves, and the world? So basically, after reading all of that and knowing that he created all of this, like, how does that affect our feelings towards him, ourselves, and the world?
I think it's a lot of, like, what we just talked about. It's like knowing that God, like, designed this world and created all that he created for us so that man could have dominion. Like, it just says so much about how much of a loving father he is and how he's doing all that he can to create this path for us to return to live with him. I mean, even down to, like, giving us prophets to teach and direct us and lead us when we're off course. Like, God cares so much about you, cares so much about us, cares so much about every single one of his children that he gave us, like, he set us up to be successful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't think I have much more to add to that.
So we'll be moving on now. The next topic is we are created in the image of God.
So why is it important for us to understand that we are created in the image of God? How can you help? Well, it says, how can you help class members? So you guys ponder this truth. So we are going to go ahead and go back into Genesis. That's Old Testament, right? Okay. I'm learning. We're going to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Do you want to read this?
Yeah.
Okay. Here you go.
Awesome. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be faithful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
So I think it's going to have us do the same thing, where it's having us go to Moses and Abraham as well.
So let me guess, you're just trying to want to skip it.
I mean, it's up to you.
Yeah, no, it's saying the same
thing. But I think it's a really cool thing that they put this in the lesson, because it just, like, opens our eyes that it's in, like, multiple books, and it's almost like honestly almost word for word. It's kind of crazy.
God's like, just so that you guys don't miss this, I'm gonna put it in three different scriptures and say it over and over again, almost word for word.
So let's go back to that question. Why is it important for us to understand that we are created in the image of God? I will just say right off the bat that I just think it's good for us to remember where we came from and where we're trying to go. You know, especially on days that is just really hard and you kind of, you know, you get into your thoughts and they might get a little bit deep. I think it's always good to remember, like, that you were created by God. And something that I've been actually putting out into the world more is on the lines of, like, people loving themselves and loving their body that they were given. I have been reminding people lately that you were created by God and he does not make any mistakes. Like, you are a masterpiece in his eyes. And that kind of goes for everything, like your personality, how you look, the way that you're living your life. Like, he didn't make any mistakes in the creation of you. And that should give you the confidence to live your life and to make decisions, and a constant reminder that your goal is to try and make it back to live with him again.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also to add on to this, like, God says the very first thing, it's kind of crazy. He says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image God created him, and male and female created he them. And then it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, which is great. Which is really crazy, because, like, one, God created us to look like him. Like, we're made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And then the very first commandment that he gives us is to go forth and create, multiply and replenish the earth, which is insane if you really think about it, because, like, God is like, okay, now that you're in my image, I've created man in my image, your very first step is to go out and create, mm-hmm, in this new world. Like, it's so, like, to be able to bring a human being into this life is so much power. And God has, that's like our first step in this life, is to be able to just go out, replenish, multiply the earth, like, really just create other humans. And it just kind of takes me back, because it's like, whoa, you know, like, it's amazing that it just reminds me that, okay, we're not just built in God's image for no reason. Like, we're built in his image because there's a huge, bigger plan. And so, honestly, like, one of the things that keeps me grounded and rooted to the gospel and know that there's an afterlife and things are going to be great is the fact that, one, we're built in the image of God, and the fact that he's trusted us with such a big deal to be able to replenish and create the earth, multiply in the earth. Like, it's a big deal. And so I just think that eventually we will return to live with God again. This is part of a bigger training, and so forth.
And I feel like we kind of already answered this a little bit, but I just want to put this question out there for you guys to just think about. How does this truth affect the way we see ourselves, others, and God? So just something to think about. All right. So, there's a video that we're supposed to watch, but we might have to just skip over that. So we're going to move on to the last section, which is what? Angel's laughing. Why are you laughing?
Well, this topic is just so big right now because the world is getting so crazy. And it's just a really sensitive topic.
That's true. Yeah.
And so I just laugh because I'm like, well, the second lesson that we're doing, and we're diving into this already. So
seriously, this last section is marriage is between a man and a woman. Marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God. Which, yes, this is definitely like something that is kind of hard to talk about, like, within the church, because I was that teenager growing up that whenever we talked about this, like, I would always, like, challenge the teacher on it. I was that person in class because, like, you know, I support people that, you know, they want to have a same-sex marriage. Like, I totally support them. Like, I have many friends like that, and I'm never going to be that person to judge another person, like, ever. But I also understand, like, why it is this way. And I think when I was a teenager, like, I didn't fully understand. I was just like, everybody should be able to be with whoever they want to be with, you know? And, like, I didn't understand, like, the doctrine behind it and, like, why it is this way. But it's definitely helped me, like, learning this over the years. It's helped me to have an open mind with the world and, like, with people's decisions, but also understanding why in the church, like, this is just how it is. But yeah, it's definitely, like, an interesting thing to talk about because, you know, in no way are we judging anybody who doesn't do this, you know? Like, there's many members of the church who, you know, they are attracted to the same sex, and that's a very difficult decision that they have to make in life. And, you know, I've had some friends like that, and breaks my heart because I can't tell them what to do, you know, like, it's so hard. But moving forward with this, like, just know that we have a really open mind, but, you know, we also understand, like, the meaning behind this, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And, like, I do know a lot of people that are in that situation that struggle within the church because they do have that feelings for same sex, and, like, a lot of them, like, it's just a tough spot, tough topic.
Really hard.
And the only thing I got to say about it is I know the gospel is true, and I know that man is designed to be with women. And, you know, that's how the family is built upon. But having said that, I am not God or anything of that sort. So I am nowhere near close to being able to judge someone for the decisions that they make. Like, I don't know what that person's gone through in life. I don't know how they're impacted. I don't know how they were born. I don't know the science. I don't know the breakdown. I don't know any of that about that person. And no one on this earth does about any individual. Sometimes we don't even really know ourselves. So what I say is God is the only person that can correctly judge another human. Like, no one else can. And so if that person feels like that's the path that they need to go down, you know, I'm not one to be like, I can tell them my opinion. I think that, you know, scriptures say man and woman, but other than that, I have no more involvement. Like, I love my fellow humans. Like,
yeah, you know? And God does too. Like, I feel like that needs to be put out there too. Yeah. Is like, if you are someone listening to this and you are a member of the church and you are in a same-sex relationship and you don't know what you want to do moving forward, or you, you know, you're just in this difficult situation, I want you to know that God still loves you. Like, that does not change at all. And I think a lot of the times it's so easy to think that he doesn't love you anymore when you're in this situation where you have to figure out what you want to do. You know, like, he's going to be there and he's going to love you no matter what. So I just feel like that's not said enough. Yeah, so I just wanted to put that out there. So moving on with this topic, many views on marriage in the world today diverge from eternal truth. So that's kind of what we were just talking about, right? And that's where it becomes very difficult, people who are in this situation. So to help your class learn about God's views on marriage, you might invite them to read. We're going to go ahead and read Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. We will start with that, and then we'll go into Moses and Abraham. I think it's probably going to do the same thing
as before. So basically, we'll just read Genesis because all of them are kind of the same scriptures.
So chapter 1.
27 to 28.
Sweet.
So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so it's basically scriptures that we've already read in this lesson. But I think there's no debate that man and women are designed to be together. There's no debate there. Like, man and woman together create another human. Like, 1 + 1 = 2.
And that's what he was saying that he wants us to do, is replenish the earth, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we're designed to replenish, multiply, and replenish the earth. But that doesn't take into account that, like, you know, how a person's born or the choices that they make. Like, we know what scripture says, but it doesn't give us any right to judge another human, because God loves every single one of us, and only he can know what we're going through.
So. Yeah, and that is a good reminder, is that he knows what you're going through if you are going through this right now. Like, he knows what it feels like. And I also am, like, a firm believer that everything that every individual person goes through in their life, that is just a trial that is set in their course, and that's no mistake. So if you are in this situation where you just really don't know what to do, like, you found someone that you love, but it's not necessarily, you know, quote unquote, accepted in the church, then I just don't want you to be upset with yourself or be upset with God, because he knows what it feels like. And this situation that you're in was no mistake. You know, that this is just something that is part of your life, and something that you kind of just need to find your way through. And, you know, like, it, again, it's not up to us to, like, say what's right or wrong. It's not up to anyone. Like, God's just going to continue to be by your side and love you. And I don't know. It breaks my heart when I hear of people around me who are going through this and they just don't know what to do.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're a member of the church or not a member of the church, and this is something that you're going through, Star and I will always be here. So if you guys are able to reach out to us, feel free to reach out to us. And just, I don't know, we'll make time and chat, because, like, that's a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, we might not be fully merged into that culture, that like, we don't know much about that, you know.
Yeah, but
we
mean,
do have friends, and we do have seen that process before. And, like, if you feel like people might not accept you, we will accept you.
We do.
Yeah, we do. The gentles do.
Yeah, we definitely do. And honestly, most people in the church are super loving and accepting of everyone. Like, every once in a while, like, I'll have people tell me, they're just like, oh, like, I've been, like, people in the church have been so mean to me once they found out. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, there's just mean people throughout the world, like, in the church and outside the church. And that's super unfortunate. And I hope that they find peace and they can start showing more love. But for the most part, like, there are so many loving and supportive people within the church. And it's just about finding those people and, you know, sticking with them, because they're going to show you unconditional love. And you should just surround yourself with people like that, so that, you know, it's just easier for you to, I mean, not even with this situation, but everything in your life, it's just easier to live with, when you're surrounded by people who are just so loving and they do their best to be understanding, even if they can't understand what you're going through.
Absolutely. And that's, then with that, we come to the end of our discussion here and like our scripture reading. The last question that you guys can ponder on is, why are these truths valuable to us? And so ponder on that. But it's basically talking about the truth that, you know, man and women were designed to be together and to multiply and replenish the earth. So take it in your own way and just ponder and think about that question.
Yeah, but we love you guys so much and we really appreciate you. And yeah, we hope that you guys have a great week and that it's full of love and positivity. And if it's not, we hope that you can find some space in your week to have those moments where you are resting and recharging and taking care of yourself.
Absolutely. And I don't know too many rock stars, but I know you guys. I know you guys are definitely rock stars. So you guys are the rock stars that I know. I'm just messing. But have a great day, guys.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.